Hello, welcome to GL Live's Roundtable segment. I am Luke. I will be your moderator.
Hey, this is Ben of Ben Dares All of Ben Dares Games. First games don't count because you don't always play the same.
Hi, this is Jovan. My favorite game mechanic would be bureau, worker placement, resource management.
Hi, I'm Ron, and my favorite game style is worker placement.
Hi, I'm John, and my favorite game style or game mechanic is worker placement and engine building.
Hi, this is Leon. My favorite game mechanic is air control.
Hi, I'm Sham. My favorite game mechanic would be card drafting.
Hi, I'm Hans. So my favorite card game mechanic would be worker placement as well.
So for this roundtable discussion, we will be discussing the Spiel des Jahres nominees of 2019, or also the Spiel des Jahres itself.
So can you give us some background on Spiel des Jahres? How do you pronounce that?
Jahres. Spiel des Jahres.
Sorry for any German listening. So the background is Spiel des Jahres is the Game of the Year award that is given by a jury. I think they are based in Germany, right? And then the
Germany, Austria, Germany, Switzerland.
Switzerland. So essentially German-speaking countries.
And then it started in 1979, and until now, it is considered as a great renown to win this award. So
78. Well,
78? Yeah. Oh, 78.
According to Wiki, it's 78.
So, does anyone have anything they want to share about their experience with this award?
My first encounter with Spiel was 8 years ago. And then, the first one that I remember was actually this game called Seven Wonders. It was a time when it came out and it blew everyone's mind because everyone thought that, oh, this is like the simplest gamer game there is now, and it's so good. I don't have to keep teaching people Dominion where they don't understand what the cards do and how they combo. So Seven Wonders was the one that really took off. It was nominated for Kennerspiel, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And then I remember receiving the email from Asmodee saying, oh, you should get a lot of Seven Wonders for Gaming Library because, it's nominated for Kennerspiel. And I was like, what is Kennerspiel? Pinagtawanan lang nila ako in the email after that. Yeah, so apparently Germany kasi is like, the history daw is where a lot of the modern game design came out, and a lot of families in Germany really have a place, a board game table for the as a pastime together with their family. So the board game market in that country really grew so fast, to the point na dun nga daw nanggaling yung Renaissance after after the D&D period in the US. I think the game that started it there was Catan in 1994. Mm-hmm. So that's why when people say, oh, it's nominated for Spiel or Kennerspiel, like, it is something that, you have to look up to.
And not always have to look up to. I'm sorry, but I'm actually not into Seven Wonders that much. I'm not kind of into card drafting. I do like
sacrilege.
Engine building. Sacrilege, true, but it's still an opinion.
I did hear that whenever a nominee or whenever someone gets nominated or even wins the Spiel des Jahres, their sales do go up.
Yes.
So it's also not just an award. It's also almost like a way to introduce gamers to new gamers or new people to the
gaming
community.
Gateway games,
yeah. Essentially. Yes.
But so, like when I when I started buying board games, of course I was like, I wasn't ready to like spend and splurge on a lot of games. So like you'd look at what was nominated by these for these various awards, so that's sort of a guide to know what to look at to start with. And then from there you can look at the description and then make your decision on what to buy. But like these games have been like certified and tried and tested by all these people. That's why they're nominated. So it's like a guide to get you started on what maybe you'd be interested in buying.
They say it's like the Oscars in terms of analogy to films.
Yeah.
It's like the Oscars, except you know you don't have the red carpet and everything.
Ben, what's happening,
you
Ben?
You can't say the Oscars because, like, you know, there's like the behind the scenes drama. Oh. There's like things being bought. And, like, oh, like the equality and discrimination about that. So I don't know about like the Spiel des Jahres stuff. If like there's like politics going on behind the scenes, but I don't know. Like,
well, do you always agree with the winners, though?
No, not always.
And how do they judge?
The Germans.
I heard that their criteria is first they look at the rule book, how the rule book was written, is it easy to understand?
Composition,
especially,
clearness,
yeah.
Comprehensibility.
Okay.
Yes.
Really?
Prepared.
Yes, I'm prepared. There's also game concept, which includes originality, playability, and game value. And then there's layout, box, board, and rules. And then the design, of course, so functionality and workmanship.
Yeah.
All right. So
that's a criteria.
Essentially.
This is for which one?
I think all of them.
For all
the
awards.
So Oscars, Spiel the Oscars.
Sorry, we mentioned all of them, but like, what are the different
categories?
The Spiel has three different categories. First is the Spiel des Jahres itself, which is considered as the family game of the year, because. They also have a Kennerspiel, which they consider to be the
connoisseur enthusiast game.
Yes. Essentially, they say that it is also like a family game, but it is more
complicated
with its rules.
Complex games.
Yeah, complex
basically.
Understanding. And then there is the Kinderspiel, which is the children's game of the year, which is obviously more targeted to the younger kids.
Siguro just to give an idea to Ben, no, in terms of politics and drama. a normal board game, if it gets nominated, would triple in sales right off the bat. For sure yun. If you win, then it multiplies by 10. So to give you an idea...
See, it's ruled by economics!
No. So essentially...
No, it's
like,
a result.
It's a result. So with Splendor, for example, I remember that... during that time, takot na kami to order 36 copies of Splendor. Because we have never
that.
Yes.
I
we have never
I
heard of it.
Yeah,
and then it got nominated, and right off the bat, I was like, oh, I need another 12. And I sent an email to Asmodee, I need to double my shipment. And then they said, sorry, it's all gone. Once word got out that it's nominated, all the distributors said, whatever you have left, we'll take it. Parang ganun.
Well, I will agree because I do like Splendor.
Another one that really... Also, to give you an idea on why the politics and why the drama. For Codenames, it won Spiel des Jahres. And we localize Codenames. Okay?
How are the sales for Philippine Codenames?
It got to the point that we did Codenames Philippines. 2,000 copies already in print run. And, you know... For us to put the sticker of Spiel on the box, it cost us about 30 centavo euros per sticker.
Just to add the sticker?
Just to add the sticker to the box.
Are you sure you should mention that, like, to all the world to hear? For all the world to hear?
You know, it's a fact of life. I did not sign an NDA part of it, so... And I'm sure... I'm not the last one to have mentioned it. I'm not also the first one to have mentioned it.
The thing is,
before.
That sticker increases market value.
Yes.
Yes. So
yes.
It's fine, I guess.
Unless it's stuck on the plastic on the board game.
No, I meant not. Just attaching the nomination to the game, whether literally or virtually,
it already has
value.
It has visual and even an level of expectation that the game would be.
You know, kumbaga it has been vetted, it has been reviewed by, you know, an award body, parang ganun. That's, I guess, again, it's an opinion, except na parang for them, they have been doing this as part of their work for all throughout their life. And when they bring out something, I'm sure they don't want to be embarrassed naman to say, pangit pala nitong game na to.
My first encounter with the awards is
what
actually
game?
My first encounter of the game, it wasn't even nominated yet. So it was Carcassonne. So it was like it was the base set, just the base set. And we were playing it and loved it so much. So we just kept on.
Yeah. Mike kept loves that game. We played it so many times. We'd take over Starbucks.
The replay of that game is so high. So yeah. I really loved it, but I didn't have my own copy. By the time it got nominated and won an award, that was the first major board game that I purchased.
Okay.
Like, I bought the big box. So the thing is, that dictated my purchase decisions. You know, I've bought many small games before, but that major, like, you know, shelling out more than 4K like 10 years ago is a big deal.
Yeah.
I know. So the awards really, you know, helped me make that decision.
And
that's
make
like
the jump to purchasing
ago.
Like
yes, like shelling out four or five, I think.
The big box.
Yeah,
the big box. Yeah.
Back then, because also shipping wasn't that
friendly
before, so it really costs an arm and a leg. So I really understand the markup of sellers back then.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, King Domino also won Spiel des Jahres.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
coming
mm-hmm.
from the heels of Carcassonne.
I prefer King Domino over Carcassonne because it's so much easier to score there.
Once you get used to it,
yeah.
Carcassonne gets easy to score.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the challenge. I like the challenge, Ben. So, you know, I like Carcassonne and I love almost all the expansions. I should say almost all the expansions. So
in terms of the saying like a guide, I personally, when I started, when I didn't know what to buy next, I usually just look at what are the Spiel des Jahres winners and then look how they play. No, even just the winners. Because, for example, that's how I got to find Dixit, because I didn't know
mm-hmm.
it even existed. But when I saw that it won this award and people saying it's a really fun game, really easy game to teach, that got me to buy it, because the Spiel des Jahres itself gave it an award. So
full disclosure, this is the first time I'm hearing that Dixit won. Sorry, but I own the game. So I'm sorry.
It's in the box. I guess it's
it wasn't on my box.
Yeah, it wasn't on my box either.
Really?
Odyssey.
Wow, well,
I did hear that there was a little debate regarding Dixit being nominated, because many gamers consider it more of a party game than a board game.
Party game, like discrimination.
That was
party
the
game
board.
Discrimination.
Yes.
Shame.
And then when
an
Code Names, and then when Code Names got nominated 5 years later, the debate started again.
Oh, good job for Code Names.
Yeah. And then we have this year.
Mm-hmm.
For this year, we have three games, and you can essentially say that there isn't like a traditional board game.
Yeah. There are no boards.
There are no boards, essentially. So
it's just games.
Let's jump into
the
Spiel des Jahres nominees of 2019. So the games this year are Just One by Repos Production, Llama by Amigo Spiel, and then Werewords by Bezier Games. So does anyone want to start with a specific game?
I love Just One. As in, me and my group, we love Just One. It's like a word game that is cooperative. The idea is actually in the title. You're allowed to just give one. Each person in the team is allowed to give the clue guesser one clue.
Oh my god! I did play this. This is one with like the petal fence and stuff.
Yes.
Oh my god! That's actually
fun,
but it's way too simple. Like, how can you like expound on this? Like,
I don't know,
it's just so basic, but that makes it universal.
Yeah.
God, like, oh my god, what are the stuff
which
we did?
Makes it elegant.
Yeah, like
I think that's why they chose it, because it sounds weirdly new, even though it sounds like we've probably played
before,
something before.
Yeah.
But
something like it.
Yeah, something like it before, but they made it into a game,
they board game, yeah, with fixed rules.
Well, it's, I'm like looking at the mechanics, parts now. The components are nice.
Way simple. So. Like, you could just play this with pen and paper. Like, when I played this, like, the word was like war, and then the clues we were giving was like infinity, civil, and then somebody said like, oh, he cheated. He said guerra, which wasn't working, but that's fine. Yeah. But it's cool. I actually enjoyed this game with the pencil pens and putting it up and closing your eyes. But yeah, it's sort of taboo-ish.
Sort of.
And if you match with someone, you eliminate the
clue. The
word. Yeah, that one. This is actually good. I would agree with this. Oh my god. Wait, can we say that? Can we say God?
So,
all right.
So okay. One things that you might notice is like 20 years ago, the titles were Ticket to Ride, Catan, so it's more for a sit down and then, you know, you play 30 to 45 minutes of it. Recently, you've seen that the games are a bit faster, more portable, because in terms of the times, people's needs have also been changing. So
yeah.
I guess
yeah.
That's why this year, it's Werewords, it's Just One, and to be honest with you, like 3 years ago, I wouldn't have known that these games would be known. I wouldn't bet on it. Like for this year, I would have thought na something.
I heard that the one of the recommended was Reef.
Yes, I would have thought
Reef was good too.
Planet maybe.
No, I don't know.
I didn't think it was not recommended.
I would think Reef.
Reef.
But then they gave it to 2 party games and 1 card game.
Yes.
you think there's something going on behind the scenes there? Are they pushing the party games?
I think
it's the trend.
The criteria and the trend. Mm-hmm. When you think about the game criteria of Just One, it's like, I can sit down for 2 minutes and teach you the entire game. Whereas Reef, you really have to take a little bit of time to learn it. And then versus this one, it's really in a play.
Now that goes for the connoisseur, I was...
Well, that's
over
that probably.
Family. What is your family again? Familiars?
No, family is
Spiel.
And then Kinder.
Kinderspiel.
Oh god, I'm killing the German words. Never
mind. Like last year, the mind was already in it.
There's
no board for the mind.
The mind!
Actually, I love the mind.
The mind!
I didn't think I would.
No, you love to hate it because it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Like, you reach, like, up to level 4, but then, like, you want more, but no, your stupid teammates, like, get you killed. It's so annoying.
I'm hoping, my bet is on Just One, but I'm hoping for Werewords, just because Super Dark Horse shot.
No. Werewords is a cop out. Werewords is a cop out.
Why? Explain it to me.
Because it's essentially the same game.
Well, explain Werewords.
Werewords is a game where we each have roles. And, being the mayor, there's a mayor, there's a werewolf, and the rest are villagers. So the mayor, essentially, he's the person who knows what the word is, and
The werewolves also know.
And the werewolves also know, yes. And then the villagers, including the werewolf, take turns asking questions answerable by yes and no, right? So, the word is eggplant.
Okay.
And then
impromptu game of werewolves.
The villagers will ask, is this a person? Is this a thing?
Gosh. Is this like the marriage of werewolf and Pinoy Henyo? Mm.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Essentially.
All right.
So with Insider, it's basically the same game.
Yes. I also thought of that as well. When Werewords was nominated, why didn't they give it to Insider years before? Because it's essentially the same game.
With
the werewolf theme.
Yes, because the werewolf is infectious.
And the app. The app sort of adds a lot for Werewords. I don't know. Because there's this categories that you can choose for the difficulty of the words. And you get such the weirdest things. I think I had, what was that word that I picked that I thought everyone knew because it was a band that I was like super into and my friends were super into, but like,
what is it?
Nobody
Sabbath.
Knew. No,
no.
It was,
so is it just one word? It's just one word.
No.
Or it could be a
I'm interested in your taste in music.
Yeah. Super.
What's the band?
Sorry,
is it old band?
No, it was a super rock
Queen?
Punk? No.
No, no, no. No, no. She was the only one. I what remember
is
it? Playing
Come
it with
on,
Sam.
What is it?
She was the only one who knew about it.
What's the name?
Sorry,
Interpol.
No, so we can play werewords now. Is it a person?
What is
no,
the
it's
band?
A band.
It's a band.
Come on.
What's
a
the
band?
Band?
It's a very old band.
Is it a
I
boy
think
band?
It's
band before the
90s.
Don't tease us.
It's a rock band. I remember it's a rock band.
Rock band?
Okay, that's my thing. So like,
what is
clues, clues.
Sorry, I like...
It's your favorite band. You forgot.
No, it's not Fallout. No,
it's not mainstream. Definitely,
it's not mainstream.
I would argue that it's mainstream.
Is it, was it a what?
But
one
you're
band.
The only person who knew about it, Sam.
It's not mainstream.
Maybe
it's
mainstream
like,
American
really can't
culture.
Can't
we the people listening to the podcast might know what it is.
It's not Incubus. Wait, let me.
They have lots of songs already.
Yeah.
Oh, the guys, you can post the answer
check your
history
for
later on when people check the podcast.
I want
a reaction.
Know
yeah, I know. What is this?
You know, I cannot sleep tonight.
I'll try to.
About the song from there.
About the song.
I
can't remember the band.
So
she won't remember.
I am
the song.
I'm on the spot.
Wow, this is so rare words.
No, but I can relate to you. That happens to me a lot.
Fact, there are words that are like so weird. It's Pokemon. There are Pokemon there.
Oh.
So it comes to my head, but maybe they're also updating the app.
So very trendy.
Which makes it kind of it follows the times whenever they try to update the app. So it
yes,
updates
I
the words
it,
that are relevant
it,
to
oh my gosh, I remember
aha,
now.
Aha.
It's Avenged Sevenfold. No one knew Avenged Sevenfold. I thought everyone would have known.
What their song again? I forgot the name of their
I have
song.
No idea.
I have no idea.
It sounds familiar.
No idea.
I like
familiar.
A little piece of heaven.
I think that's
that,
what
that's
I
the animated one with the the skeletons and eating the heart because it was unrequited love.
So,
what in the world is
so
that?
So the werewords app put
Avenged
Sevenfold.
Avenged Sevenfold was one of the choices.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe in terms because of the app, it allowed for that replayability.
Yeah.
So
maybe that's why it was nominated.
Okay.
Because the app essentially replaces the cards. Mm-hmm. Instead of like 5,000 cards, they put it into one phone. Maybe that's why.
So now I'm curious, what did they change in Werewolves Deluxe?
We have it here, you should check it out.
I haven't opened the copy at all.
Maybe it includes the phone.
No, it probably includes new roles.
Maybe more
probably.
Rules.
Oh, maybe rules.
Probably
yeah.
More rules.
Is it the rules of the app?
You have to update the app.
Yeah,
I heard
there.
You can play 2 players in Werewolves Deluxe.
Yep.
2 players.
And
up to
20.
Yeah, up to 20.
Ah, okay.
Werewolf, Mayor.
Seer.
Okay.
No, Seer, Werewolf, and Mayor. So there's a card in there.
We could do assistant
me.
That would work.
Now it's sounding better and better.
See, Dark Horse. Dark Horse Waywords.
But what about Llama?
Now this is essentially the
LAMA, you know, because it had like dots.
This is the one that people really like. It came out of the blue, like
under
no
the
one.
Radar,
yeah, no
yeah,
one.
It's really under the radar. But
so, I want to explain the game.
It's basically a card game. Okay, so you have a. Each player has a cards in their hands. I don't remember how many cards. So, you draw the top card on the deck and show the number. What the players do is either draw a card or play cards. When you play a card, it has to be the exact number shown or at least a number higher.
No,
so basically, at the end of the round, whoever holds cards still, they're like points, and that's where the tokens come in.
Okay.
So it's like Cabo. If you have more cards, then you lose.
What's the difference between the black and white tokens?
So
racist.
Basically, the white chips are just cost 1 point, but the black token is worth 10 points.
Reverse racist.
So here in the game, at the end of when someone depletes all of their cards, for every unique number card that you have, you get 1 point. And then whenever you have that llama card, it's worth
10 points.
So you don't want to spend.
Yes,
you have to have the lowest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did it explain why a llama? Why not a dodo? Why not a kiwi?
They
Why not a dog?
You will never understand.
Yeah, I think
it's probably his favorite animal. I don't know.
Llama. Maybe I think that's why people... LAMA stands for something because it looks like an acronym to me.
Last artificer must augment.
Leg al.
What the heck is that? It's another German thing. Leg for your foot. All your feet are small as AF. Okay, no, that's horrible. Sorry.
But then I think many people are saying that why it's nominated because it's another Kinitia title. And as we know, Kinitia has been creating board games for a really long time now. So another game from him would be just another... like, just another gateway game or just another... Mm-hmm. game that will be easy to understand for people to play.
Oh, and it totally fits Pride Month.
Gateway game.
I think that's one of the... So, Rainer Knizia gets a lot of heat from all sorts of people simply because everyone feels that he just produces too much of the same thing.
The same thing.
Mm-hmm. But you can't argue with his track record. If you look at all of the nominees from ever since and even the winners... you would see his name multiple times on the award.
Do you think it should be there, though?
I haven't played it, but I think if The Mind got in, and I love The Mind,
it could be surprising.
It wouldn't be surprised.
I'm not wild about The Mind, but well, that's my opinion.
So does what does everyone think who will probably win?
Just one for me.
I think also just
one. Just one. Unless, they get swayed by the Werewords app. Because it allows you to give, an unlimited number of clues, mm-hmm. right? Words.
Well, just one is unlimited. It's like just 1 billion.
Maybe I'll go for Werewords because of Ted Alspa.
So he could win?
Oh, maybe.
Oh, you know, his wife is Filipino.
Really?
Yeah.
Filipina?
Oh. Filipina, sorry. Filipina.
Because I love suburbia, so
I'm also gonna go for Werewords because it's got a werewolf in it, and werewolf beats llama.
I'm going for just one, only because it's very very simple, very neat gameplay, and it's very straightforward. It's just one. You have to have just one, and everyone needs to be unique. Whenever you get a pair.
And you also just have one guess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's good about this is, all the games seem like they're gonna be pretty affordable to buy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's not, a million components to drive the price up.
That's cool.
Yeah, you can actually just play just one with pen and paper.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know, any game can be played with pen and paper. It's just really, would you rather play with pen and paper?
Sometimes, well, no. I really love components. I really love beautiful game components.
The components of Just One are really good.
There's a nice...
little whiteboard.
What do you call this? It looks 3D printed to me. The stand?
They look like nameplates, and then... their whiteboard markers come with erasers.
Yeah, it comes with little eraser nubs on the end.
So aside from this, last year Azul won. So did everyone agree or should have been The Mind?
No.
It's Azul.
It's Azul.
No. It would have been an upset if it wasn't Azul.
I mean, they have beautiful components, the tiles.
Yeah.
The tiles are pretty and they sound nice. It has a very Mahjong sound.
Yeah.
Not
very
as
relaxing.
Not as pretty as Sagrada. And you gotta be out of your mind for mine to win there.
My problem with Sagrada is
I found it too easy.
It's not. What kind of game have you been to?
I was able to maximize all my points in Sagrada.
Me too! It was so cool!
Were you playing alone?
But I think it also goes with, if you're a visual person, it really works for you.
We're playing two different games. For the same type of mechanic, I would prefer role player. Because that gives you so many more things to think about than just Sagrada. Because Sagrada is just you're thinking about one thing.
And the numbers.
Matching the color and the numbers.
But
role player, it's
also
sort of the same mechanic, but the different rules and the different powers,
yeah,
it's meatier.
So it's, I haven't tried that, but so far Sagrada I like because you know,
it's, like
it's very pretty.
It's very pretty, just like stained glass.
No, and I like the nice little stained glass window with when you're when you slide the cards in.
To be fair, I only played like the big version of Sagrada, so I don't know how the small version will compare.
Is there a difference between the Kickstarter version and the retail version?
No,
of Sagrada?
It's just an extra panel. All
right.
Okay.
So
then it's very pretty.
And an eighth color. Just kidding.
But for Azul, there are differences when it comes to they have promos like the Joker.
The Joker tiles.
That adds a lot to the gameplay.
Yeah, that's like that's such a boost for the DC Universe films.
Sorry. Okay.
So, was there like ever a winner that you don't agree with?
Violently.
That's a very dangerous question.
For me, I think Splendor.
Someone is about to say Carcassonne
versus Camelot.
Splendor versus Camelot. Over Camelot.
Splendor should have won.
Splendor should have won that one.
And then I think the year after it was Colt Express, and people were saying it should have been Machikoro.
Yes,
I think so too. I think although Machikoro is very luck based, so like in terms of gameplay,
yeah,
because
like you could predict stuff with Colt Express, but I think the Japanese trumps the Cowboys.
No, I think Colt Express. I don't think the rules are very
intuitive.
Yes, intuitive. Thank you, because we really had a hard time getting into it. Mm. You know.
Well, I guess that's
but
why.
But when you did get it,
yeah,
was
it's fine, but it's not as. It's not as you know
as
engaging.
The theme
just
comes
Magikoro.
Out.
Because when we learned Magikoro, we had to shout Magikoro every time everybody gets money.
That's
no, because that's the thing.
Yeah.
You have to shout Magikoro when everybody gets money.
I've been playing it wrong.
Really?
Yes.
I've been
like,
going.
I did
yes.
Not know.
I don't say Magikoro.
So
my
when
gosh,
everybody gets
have,
money, Magikoro.
Oh my goodness!
Yes.
Was that in the
really?
Rulebook?
No, because I played the Japanese version before it came out. So my friend,
Boston translation.
My friend, no, but he had an English translation rulebook. So you know, it's fun when you like roll a one and then everybody gets Machikoro. So
is that like,
everybody gets 1 peso. So
it's like if you don't say that, you don't get the money.
No, it's just fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna play it again.
So
and I'm gonna
the,
do
all
that
the blue,
next time.
All the blue buildings. If all of you have it, you can shout Machikoro.
What about the other categories, though?
So going forward, the Kenner Spiel des Jahres nominees for 2019. Oh. So the three games are.
Sorry.
The three games are Carpe Diem by Ravensburger, Detective by Portal Games. And Wingspan by Stonemaier Games. So,
okay.
Does anyone want to jump off?
Oh my
if
gosh.
We're just talking about like component quality, like Wingspan should like win hands down.
Hands down, Wingspan.
I have never fondled a rulebook before, but like Wingspan.
Oh my god!
I've never smelled a
rulebook
so much.
Oh my god!
Okay.
No, that's just touch it.
That's touching it. Yeah.
Why does it
it's
feel
very,
feathery?
It's linen,
no, no,
it's
linen very
finishes.
It's linen finish.
Yeah.
I mean,
it should have been
see
feathery.
The art of the birds, they were so
well,
good.
Who cares
the
about the birds? We're after the eggs. They're so candy delicious. You could eat them.
Okay, I do not know the other two nominees, to be fair. But
to be fair,
I have a lot of feelings about Wingspan. Because it's really, really well thought of. The theme, the behavior of the birds have something to do with the gameplay.
It's
so really
dramatic.
Great.
If you're gonna read like the card, like do you actually still bother reading all the bird
yes.
information?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't. I want eggs. I want cards. I want like the food.
I
want
sometimes
like the worms.
I just get the bird because
want...
it looks beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, you'd be fond of birds. Oh, I'm sorry.
And,
all right.
And you know, there's 170 birds, all unique.
Yeah.
So you know, and that's not even like all
oh,
birds in the world.
Yeah.
So I'm still thinking that they can still add more birds.
They can expand it.
Yeah.
Yes, like you know, like thousands of them. So just
yeah.
with cards.
Go put Philippine edition, Maya. Philippine Eagle.
Actually it's all Western
eating
I think
yeah,
mostly
so
far.
Even though the map
so
they
wala,
put
wala
the world
Asian
map.
One, so
they could also release a board with like different areas because it's like forests, mm-hmm. marshlands, and grasslands, right?
Wetlands and grasslands.
So, like, for different continent, they might have different habitats.
What about migration, right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And also, solo play is great.
I haven't tried.
I just have to say, solo play is really great. Because, like other board games, you have to think like several other players. Here, you're really playing against an automated thing, but it's kind of random because you still have a deck of cards to draw from.
And it's actually cool when you mention that because like people like the interactivity when like you mess with other people's like game and stuff. But no, this is so friendly. It's like, oh, if somebody gets like an egg, oh, I'm gonna get an egg too. But no, we're not stealing eggs from people. We're not taking food from people.
You're giving them away. No,
because it's an ecosystem.
Yeah, it's so we're being friendly.
Here, you get a worm. You get
It's so lovely. Who doesn't love worms?
Yeah, it's nice because like for example. Predator bird, when you have a predator bird and it, you know, predates, or when it kills a bird successfully, carrion birds also get something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a really good system and it's a good theme.
It's friendly.
Wait. Do you because in this game, if you there's a mechanic where if you have a bird that's smaller than this, you can slip it under that bird and it scores you points at the end.
Yes.
The rule book says it's like growing your flock of birds. So like adding them.
No, that's different. Because those are two different powers for tucking. One is for flocking, the other is for predation. Oh,
so they actually do eat.
So one is prey. One is prey and the other is flocking.
Alright. So they do actually eat the other birds.
I remember when I was playing this the first time, the puns were going fast and furious. So sorry. Get the flock out of here. Go to egg. Boo for you!
We can fix that. I brought my copy.
Yes, there is! I was so excited to play this.
And from what I heard from playing this with other people, teaching the game, they felt that the gameplay mechanics were very intuitive. Like,
yes,
after one round, you get what everything does, you get what everything goes to. What each bird does, what each
there's a friendly game and a competitive game, so you know it's good for people who are afraid to you know do rankings at the end of rounds, or you know very good for people who are like really cutthroat.
Only learning curve here is just the iconography, but you can easily fix that like a round, and then by the second round you already know. Oh, if I do this, this means something, and this.
And I just have to add, it's colorblind friendly.
Oh,
yeah. Because of the symbols.
Yeah.
And the egg colors doesn't really mean a thing.
Yeah, the eggs are just pretty.
Also, the eggs, there are actually blue eggs. I was complaining before, like, there are no such thing as blue eggs. But no,
robin eggs are blue eggs.
Yeah, robin eggs.
Yes, they are. And, like, I saw this horrible video where, like, blue egg was, like, getting eaten by snakes. And, like, God.
And also, I really like it when I have to assemble things. So I loved it when I had to assemble the bird feeder.
It's totally unnecessary.
Yeah, they had money to just make you a bird feeder.
Just call it like the bird box.
So right now, my vote is on Wingspan. I don't know about the other game, so maybe some other people.
Well, to contrast with how pretty Wingspan is, Carpe Diem? which is Arthur, a very, very... Yeah.
Dry.
Old school looking.
Well, it's Silvanfeld. What do you expect?
And Ravensburg.
I think the colors are pretty dark on the dark side when you
compare
it versus Wingspan. But I like the game mechanic of this one.
I think that's what made it into a nominee because of the game.
On the contrary, though, of all the Feld games I've played, this one feels a little bit too fiddly.
Can you give a background for the people who have not played this game?
Sam. That's going to be very difficult.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
I don't want to hear it then. Just kidding, never mind.
Essentially, what you're doing is you're moving, you see those monks at the edge, and then you're moving your monk either to one line or the other line, and then when you reach the other side, you're taking a tile, and then you're placing it in your tableau, as you see here. There's a tableau. And then, while you're doing that, there's like a scoring mechanic here So you see these are like endgame scoring cards. And then during, I think...
After everyone's have already placed all of their tiles, or have completed all of the tiles, that's when the people start
placing
your
discs in between cards. So you're essentially like scoring two cards, but then you kind of want the scores that would that you are building towards too.
Yes.
So it has a lot of mechanics.
Things going on, yeah.
Which very I fiddly, understand why it got nominated over the Kennerspiel or the Connoisseur Enthusiasts Game of the Year. So basically it has a lot of I understand why Ron feels like it's fiddly, because there's a lot of moving components in the game.
Yeah, it's a lot of things going on. It's also
and
very varied.
There's a lot of mechanics
let's
in the game.
Let's not talk about color here.
And the color, yeah, so...
Do you know that the last it's played in four rounds, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So the first three rounds, the back panels of the tiles are like light green.
Oh yeah.
And then last round, the colors are dark green.
But you can't tell the difference.
You can't tell the difference.
Because they're of the same pattern. It's just the shading.
It's so hard to determine. It's
design problem, guys.
Plus,
like,
think
put
about
it on the light.
It's really bad for colorblind people because they have a tile that's color yellow. The
and
roof
it's very
that's
close
yellow
to,
and it's very close
to
brown.
Brown.
Yeah.
You will only see the difference if you put them side by side. And you don't have... You can't just do that all the time because it will definitely stop everyone's game. It will keep everyone on their toes all the time because of that.
Explain why it's called Carpe Diem.
So I think the theme is just really tacked on. I think the idea is it's a
you're
Roman
going your
market.
Villa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roman
yeah.
market, you're buying...
Seize
think
the
things
day.
For your villa and
seize
your,
the villa
yeah
carpe
seize
villa
the day.
Yeah
mm-hmm. yeah
but design flaws design art problems aside, what do you think about
it's a very interesting game. It's
interesting.
A lot of things to think about. The movement of your meeple is interesting because you get a limited number of choices, but like once you make that choice, once you have the tile in your hand, the placing of it also vastly impacts, and then there's just a lot of things. And then it's also very variable because like every game you play, it's going to be different because the setup is always different. So
yeah, the scoring cards are different.
Different.
I think the game has like 12 for this game, but it has like a stack, so there's like a lot of
mm-hmm.
scores.
Choices, yeah.
So moving forward,
what about Detective?
Detective.
I think this is the odd one out because it's not really a Euro.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah,
but
what's wrong
game.
With that?
But I think this ties in with like Pandemic Legacy and Time Stories being nominated years before. So I think this is that kind of nominee.
So one-time play game.
So it's not gonna win?
Oh my gosh!
I think so. Detective.
Wow.
For me, and I've been a fan of Ignacy's works ever since Imperial Settlers.
Mm-hmm.
Detective, for me, is innovative in a sense that you have to use a lot of things outside of the board.
Has anyone
finished
the game, though?
I've
never played it, but
two
a friend of mine has a murder board.
Someone who spent 2 days. They
bought like a
just
court
to
board
finish one case.
Do pins and
because they wanted to make they wanted to be correct.
You can finish actually the game in one day if you want, if you're playing alone. But the thing here for me is I finished the game and it's anticlimactic.
No spoilers.
Yeah. No spoilers. It's anticlimactic.
But the cases are linked together, right?
Yes,
there's
they
a
are.
Bigger story.
There's a bigger story.
But by the end of the last case, you know who already did everything.
God, don't say that.
Mm. Is it the game that you'd only play once?
Yes.
Because once you know the solution, you're not probably
going to. But there are expansions and crimes.
So it's essentially like, just think if Sherlock Holmes consulting detective had more movement and more
if
more
Sherlock
modern,
Holmes is more modern.
More modern.
To jump in there is another game that's sort of the same,
Chronicles
of
Crime,
which
yes.
I think for me is a better game.
Why? Because is it Euro?
No.
It's more
it's
elegant.
The same.
Yeah.
It's
UX.
Yeah,
in
it's
terms of
it's
user
the, it's because it's app based, so you have these cards of suspects and people, but then they can be reused for different cases. So it's the same, it's the same components, but you can have like a million different cases. And then they also released a license for the, they also released the app online where you can create your own case. And then if they like the case, they can market it later on with credit and things for you. And then you just have to buy the cases from the app, which is like, I think, $10 or less than that, something like that, a few dollars.
That kind of sounds like Mansions of Madness. Does not compare, does it?
It's a different game. It's a very different game. It's similar to Detective, similar to that there's a case that...
And Detective is more like Sherlock Holmes consulting detective.
Yeah. Both of them.
It's a whole lot of reading!
No, not a lot of reading because like you have the app.
So like,
in Chronicles of Crime.
Okay.
Here you have to read everything.
I haven't played this game, but I've seen people play it. It's literally them sitting on a table. It's like a round table. Like this. They're basically discussing, these are the facts. This can be possible. And then they start drawing things. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, shh. Okay. Now. So I might be. So it kind of, I think in the same way that it, Euro games need a lot of concentration as an individual. I think this one also puts in the group or the collective focus to trying to think what are the possible questions that they are going to ask. So basically that's the gameplay. So, at the end of the case, you don't have to know everything.
Yeah.
But there will be a select number of questions that you don't really know which questions will be asked. That's why they're all listing down facts and the plausible plausible scenarios that might have happened that they may have missed out. So that's what they've been doing. So
sounds subjective.
But what I like about it is the fact that you have a, what do you call that?
A database.
Yeah, that's the most fun part for me. Because I just like the idea that
they look like the sci-fi thing.
Yeah, you really feel like, oh, we have a database on this person. Oh, maybe it was him, maybe it's just, I don't know. It's just the idea that there's a whole system behind the cards, behind the rules.
Wow, they should reskin this like Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, the expansion is LA, which is essentially just like the expansion of Chronicles of Crime.
For me, what I like about the detective is it kind of curbs the problem of cop games, wherein somebody just takes over.
I don't like that kind of cop game.
Actually, someone can take over.
But it's just a lot harder
to take over.
Because
you don't know
details.
what to do next.
I'm secretly hoping for Detective.
You know, for me, what it reminds me of is like it's like Unlock, because it's like you have cards.
Yeah.
Then if you choose to do this, you go to this card. Mm-hmm. If you choose to do this, you go to this card.
Yeah, I played Unlock too. It's like choose your own adventure, and they both use an app.
But then, Exit One 2 years ago, which is basically another escape room one-time use game.
Yeah,
which
is...
I think was very. It's a very strong choice.
It's
very cool.
And I love Exit so much as well.
It's too bad you can only play it once.
I love Pharaoh and it's awesome.
Why? Tell me later.
I can't tell you.
No, we won't tell you.
We have big plans for these types of games for next year. So that's why I'm secretly rooting for Detective. Wingspan doesn't need the boost anymore. There's no stock.
I know.
Yeah, I'm trying to get one.
I'm trying to
get two
more copies.
Why are you taking games away from other people when you have one already?
Gaming libraries
are
trying to take at least 100.
Share it with me. Order your own. I'm trying.
So what do you think out of the three?
Wingspan.
I'm gonna go for Detective just because, you know, so we can have more Exit and Unlock games for popularity and let them make the trend for like 2020.
I think the
actually,
trend was with Unlock and Exit already.
Yeah.
And
they're still
also
continuing.
Escape the Room.
Yes.
Well,
and then
Exit One, I think that's.
There's no replayability.
No, there's revivals.
What you want with a board game. What you want with board games are replayability.
Yes.
Right?
Well, if
but then,
Detective wins, that will like shoot that down.
But then Exit One, and that was a one-time use game.
The price was commensurate to the.
Yeah, the price point is also.
But actually,
I think the price point helped.
To point that out, there was a highly debated game, which was also given special notice and an exception award by Kenner Spiela Pandemic. Both season 1 and season 2 were awarded, if I remember right.
Yes. I think season 1 was nominated and then season 2 was given a special award. Right.
So that one, when I played it and when I finished it, I was like, oh, this is a really good series. Mm-hmm. TV series that, you know, if I watch it and play it again, I know what's gonna happen. But for me, parang like, sulit siya. Okay siyang ending.
That's why I like satisfied. Exit as well, because it's like 800 pesos. And essentially, yes, it's like you're bringing the escape room to your house instead of going out.
Instead of like paying like 400 bucks for like person. 5 people.
400 per head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it's 2,000 for like 1 hour.
And then,
15 minutes long.
No, 30.
No, in 30. Escape room.
Sometimes 30.
The escape room.
30, 45.
There's 45. I haven't seen like a 30.
But the difference between like Pandemic Legacy and like an unlock game is that unlock is very linear. Well, whereas Pandemic Legacy, you still actually have choices that would affect the entire story. So you're more engaged. That's where the replayability comes in, because you don't know what's gonna happen next, because you don't know what choices you can buy
Pandemic Legacy.
But like for Unlock and Exit and all of those types of games,
there's only
just
one correct
solution.
Yeah. One solution.
But you know they're coming up with two spin-offs from Exit. The adventure book series, and then there is the murder mystery. They're currently being printed in Germany.
I hope that makes a killing.
They are currently planning to bring it to English.
Cool. And I heard that because of Exit winning so many escape room style games, I even heard that there's a new one, I think by Pegasus, but that is called Undo, where time traveling back to stop someone from dying.
Okay.
And it's essentially another escape room style of game.
And then what I heard about it is that it's not about what you know. You're supposed to use your social or like your empathy skills.
Yeah.
So it's a different way of thinking.
Yeah.
Compared to like solving a puzzle, because you're like trying to prevent this guy from dying.
That's a TV show. That's True Calling.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, so what do you think?
Wingspan.
Wingspan still.
Still Wingspan.
Sorry.
I'm sticking with Detective. But I haven't played it. So I have to find out how.
Okay, so
the
last category.
The last category, which is
the
Kinderspiel. So the Kinderspiel is really more for the young kids. The idea is, I think, kids 1 to 5 years old, if I remember correctly.
I think.
Yes, yung mga games. I haven't really paid much attention to this category.
I can tell you about the three games. So,
can you pronounce it properly?
I think I don't know. First is Fabulantica. So it's like a memory game. So the idea here is you're moving around a board, and then you're trying to find specific characters, and then to move around the board, you're gonna play a card that matches the terrain you're going into. And then when you get into one of those like castles, you look inside, and then if it matches one of the characters that you're looking for, you get a card corresponding to it. And then after, if you get a card from it, you have to move the castle to a different area. So it's mostly a memory game with a little card play, because you're trying to play cards to move around. So that's Fabulantica. And then
play Pengulu.
And then this one is Go Gecko Go. I think it's
is that Dexterity?
No, it's not Dexterity. It's dice rolling.
Okay.
And then you have four creatures, and they're in four different colors. And then when you roll the die, you roll two dice, and then it will probably be one of the four colors, and then you choose which one of the two dice you're going to move with your creature. And then your goal is to move all your creatures to the end. But
kind
then,
of like Ingenious,
I think, but here it's like a race.
Because
if you notice, some of the creatures stack up. So if a smaller creature is on top of a larger creature, and the larger creature moves, the small creature goes with it. But if a larger creature is on top of a smaller creature and the small creature moves, it cannot move. The small creature cannot move. And then there's also bridges, so you see that. And then what you do there is you're trying to move the creatures under the bridge. But if they are stacked on top of one another, not all of them can pass through.
Oh,
okay, that's fine.
So that's like the toy.
That's interesting.
And so you roll two or three dice.
You roll the three dice, and then two of them are colors. The other one is like an effect. So like, I think the sun one is if a creature is on the shaded space, mm-hmm. then that creature moves forward. For example, like that, everyone moves forward. For example.
Okay. Do you know if the animals have individual powers or
no? I don't think it has. I think it's just the size.
I can see a turtle. I can see a frog. There's a gecko.
Gecko and an alligator.
The red one's an alligator?
Yeah. Or crocodile or something.
That's huge.
Interesting. Okay.
And then
I like that idea.
The third one is Taldr Vikinger or Valley of Vikings. So this is a dexterity game. So what you're doing is it's like bowling. So you have a ball, and then it's weird because you don't roll the ball, you're gonna push it with a token. So you're pushing it with a token.
Hmm.
And then there are four cylinders representing the different people in the four players. And then when you hit a player, their token moves forward in that pier. And then at the end of, and then when someone falls off the pier, a scoring round will happen. And then wherever you are on the pier, that's what you get. So you either get the coins, or if you land on your own space, you get one coin from all players. If you land on someone else's space, you get one coin from them. And then essentially, I think it's like you after like five or six rounds, the game ends, and then whoever has the most coins wins.
Why do they have boats?
That's where you keep your coins. Okay. That's essentially what it does.
It looks like Asterix the Gaul from Asterix and Obelix.
Vote is on Go Gecko Go.
I like Go Gecko Go.
I think I saw someone discussion about this. I think people are favoriting Go Gecko Go because it's...
Who's the publisher again of
Go Gecko Go? I think it's Zoc.
I should give them a call. Zoc Verlag?
Zoc Verlag.
Yeah,
it's Zoc. And then Fabulantica, I think, is Pegasus. And then Tal the Vikinger is Haba. And then... Then people are thinking maybe Fabulantica will win because it's like... What's that old game? I forgot what it's called. It's like Enchanted Forest. That won Spiel des Jahres before. And it feels like it. So they're saying that maybe Fabulantica will win because it sounds like it feels like a previous game before.
Mm.
But then I think people are going for Go Gecko Go because of its just the funness of it versus like the dexterity one. People are complaining that the children won't grasp the scoring mechanism.
Yeah,
because
it
feels too complicated. They'll just probably just play with the
keep on throwing the ball.
And then in Fabulantica. Card play is the one that they are worried about that children might not understand.
Versus Go Gecko Go,
you're just rolling dice and you're moving.
You pick a color and then that's what you do.
That's it.
In addition, Go Gecko Go seems like something I'd be interested to play.
But because it
looks like you can be very competitive with it, and like you can block other people, and
we should have like predators there.
Like, make more interesting decisions.
Actually, that's one of the learnings that I had from All Aboard. I thought before na, children's games like Goblet Gobblers, Pengulu aren't really fun. But then when we tried it, oh my god.
Pengulu was a huge
seller.
Hit.
Yeah.
All Aboard XL.
Is that the one where you're supposed to balance?
That's Chicky Boom.
Chicky Boom.
Yes. And
Pengulu for the win.
And they were Blue Orange was telling us, no, you should get Pengulu and Goblet Gobblers and Chicky Boom and then Kingdom. And I was like, what? And then now we know.
So I think essentially the Kinderspiel is just to push the people to see games for the kid.
So I wanted to give a shout out to Agricola because I sincerely believe that it's the game that, you know, gave birth to the Kennerspiel, not the Kinderspiel.
Kennerspiel.
Because I think it was given a special award.
It was given a special award in 2008 when it was published. But back then, the Kennerspiel or the connoisseur enthusiast category
did not exist.
So they had to make an exception award for it. And then a few years later, they said, you know, we have Agricola, we have all these games that, you know, deserve an award as well for excellence, but don't really fit the whole
family,
mainstream family, everyone on the table idea. So they came up with Kennerspiel, which is a more serious segment.
They didn't give any back awards.
No, they did was to give it an exception award during that time.
Okay. All right, so according to Dice Tower, the awards will be announced on July 22, 2019.
Okay,
so
soon, 1 month ago, depending on when this podcast is broadcasted.
Go Wingspan!
So, thank you for listening to this roundtable discussion. If you're not yet subscribed, please follow us in any of your podcatchers, and then goodbye.
Bye.
Benzers, bye.